Moving right along, we next have a Supreme Court update presentation. Oh my gosh. Moving right along. We won't tell her to run. That apparently won't work. But we have Jennifer Lauren, who's on the faculty of UT, and she's been there since 2009. She has a long list of accomplishments, but she, outstandingly, she has co-authored a book on, she's updating the third edition discovery standards and, she's on the American Bar Association's Criminal Justice Standards Task Force, and they're updating a book. And she received her undergraduate degree in politics from Earlham College. She earned her JD from Columbia. She was the executive articles editor for the Columbia Law Review, and she's worked with the Innocence Project people in New York. Without further ado, Jennifer, I'm sorry you're here.
All right, it's great to see you all. Thanks so much for the introduction, Judge Hervey. It's great to be with you all again. I'm thankful to the organizers for the invitation to be here. I have, in recent years, had the good fortune of being assisted in preparing the materials for this CLE by some terrific RAs at the University of Texas School of Law, and that is the case once again this year. And so I just want to give a shout out to Zach Ocean, UT Law class of 2023, who did considerable work on the written materials that you all have. So if you ever get a call from Zach Ocean, he's your man. Also, apologies for my awkward entrance and any grimaces if my injured knee gives out. I swear I'm reacting to genuine discomfort, not what the Supreme Court did in any given instance. Don't pull a Jennifer. Right? And you all know exactly what I mean when I say that now. Yeah. All right. So here's what we're going to do over the course of the next hour. I'm going to be discussing five criminal law and criminal procedure cases that were heard by the court this term. In past years, I've given a preview of what's up in the upcoming term, but not this year. Interestingly, the Supreme Court has not so far taken any criminal law or criminal procedure cases for next term. So we'll see what that docket ends up looking like. Our tour first is going to take us through some sort of overarching themes of the 2022 term that I think are of interest to identify. And then we'll start our case tour with a Texas case involving DNA testing and a federal civil rights claim under the federal law known as Section 1983. We'll take a look at the squirrely adequate and independent state ground doctrine, take a look at a couple different First Amendment challenges to criminal statutes, and then close out with a Confrontation Clause case that the court will be deciding this term. So, starting with three themes that I think are worth sort of pulling out from the term to discuss with you all. The first is a general theme, not specifically applicable to criminal law, though maybe with some specific implications, and that's the court's ever-shrinking docket. By the end of this term, the court will likely have heard 60 cases fully on their regular docket. That actually breaks their last three-year string of not even making the 60-case threshold. But even so, even with a essentially one case uptick from last term, the docket is dwindling by any sort of historical comparison. So even looking at the 1980s and 1990s, the court averaged between 80 to 90 cases a year. In recent years, it's hovered at 60 or below. And moreover, the court has sort of slowed its opinion writing. It's moving at a slower pace in writing opinions, so many more decisions are kind of being bunched up at the end. Today's presentation is exemplary. Only two of the five cases that I'll be discussing today have had opinions issued, and we're only about a month before the end of the term. So criminal law and criminal procedure, the criminal law and criminal procedure docket has obviously shrunk in kind. But maybe disproportionately so, or at least there's reason to think so. I haven't done the empirics on this, but it looks like that is happening, and there's reason to think maybe it would.